Well, hello, City First fam. We are so glad that each and every one of you are with us today. So glad that you're here. You belong here. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to believe that today is the last Sunday in May. It's kind of gone by fast and slow all at the same time, but I want to encourage you to come back next weekend, the first weekend of June, because we're going to be kicking off a brand new series called Questions Jesus Asked, and it's going to be interesting and intriguing, and most of all, it's going to be helpful to stay strong spiritually throughout the summer months. But today is the last Sunday of May, and I have a question for you. Have you all heard of something called May-cember, where the month of May is as busy, if not busier, than the month of December, but there aren't any Christmas presents in the month of May? And yet it feels like all these families are trying to pull off all the things in just one month. There's graduations, there's Spirit Week, teacher appreciation, sports tournaments, Memorial Day, social activities, all on top of the normal demands of work, your normal family, family drama, obligations, bills that need to be paid, figuring out your summer plans, and the cicadas are coming in Illinois. Don't cheer for that. But it feels like there's so much going on. And before you know it, you feel depleted. And like you're running on E, like my gas tank was yesterday. And no one ever intends to get there. It's no one's goal. It's no one's desire to be running on fumes. Yet it feels as though we live in this fast-paced world with a gravitational pull towards busy. And so we just don't have time to refuel or to fill up. And yet we're trying to give away what we don't even have because we're running on E. And maybe you don't feel like your schedule is extremely chaotic, but perhaps your mind is. There's something called chaos thinking, where your mind is always going, always thinking, always working, always worrying. You're present physically, but maybe not mentally, because your mind is always in overdrive. It's hard for you to go to bed at night because your mind just won't turn off. It's hard to be focused because your mind's in a million different ways. You're like, squirrel, right? You're looking at someone dead in the eye and they're talking to you and you're not hearing anything that they say because your mind is in a whole different place having a whole different conversation. Don't nudge your spouse, okay? Even now, you're listening to me, but you're also thinking, okay, so how much time is left? Because I'm getting hungry. And there's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, and it says, what do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain, even at night. Their minds do not rest. Maybe you can relate. Maybe your mind and your soul and your schedule feels a little chaotic, kind of like you're running on E. And you're thinking to yourself, there must be a better way. There must be a more fulfilling path than living in all of this anxious striving. And I've got good news today. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who work and have heavy loads, and I will, it's a promise, I will give you rest. Follow my teachings. That's what we're doing today. At City First, we exist to introduce everyone to Jesus and teach them to follow him. Jesus says, follow my teachings. Follow my ways. Learn from me. I'm gentle. I don't have pride. And you will have rest for your souls. Apart from Jesus, we will not find rest for our weary souls. And today I want to talk about how we can have a summer of rest, which I believe begins with having a sound mind. In a world of chaotic thinking, in a world of chaos, Jesus offers to us the gift of a sound and a settled mind. And so today, the title of the message, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. If you're not taking notes, You can write this down. It's a straightforward message. It's just this, a sound mind. We're going to see what God says about how we can have a sound mind. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together today in church or for those joining us online. We don't take it for granted. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for this moment. And God, I pray that as we gather, this would be a time where it's not just a reasonable message where there's reason, but there's revelation from you. That's what we want. God, I pray that you would open up every heart and every mind to receive all that you have for them. I pray that I would get out of the way so that you can have your way. Holy Spirit, I pray you would minister to each and every person individually and specifically like only you can. And in your name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, today I want to go over three keys to having a sound mind, because I believe that when we have a sound mind, we will find renewed strength, we will find renewed purpose, and even fulfillment in this summer time. So the very first thing, the first key to having a sound mind is this: sow strategically. What does that mean? Well, the Bible talks a lot about, in the Bible, the principle of sowing and reaping. It's kind of like a cause and effect. If we do this, then we'll see that. And I think a lot of times when it comes to something like a sound mind, we think, well, it'll just happen. I'll just stumble into it. If I go to church, I'll just have a sound mind. It will help you. But really, when it comes to having a sound mind, we're gonna have to be strategic in order to reap the benefits of a sound mind. And in the Bible, there's a lot of agricultural metaphors about sowing and reaping. And it's like if a farmer had a certain amount of seed, he wouldn't just plant it anywhere. Instead, he would strategically take what he had and plant it into good soil, where the sun is good and the water is right and there's an opportunity for growth that can happen. A farmer is thinking about the return on his investment, and we should be doing the same thing. The key is to sow strategically, not just emotionally. And it's so easy to allow emotions to dictate how we live, but as Christ followers, we have the opportunity to not sow just emotionally, but to sow strategically. Let's say that this jar of seed represents your time, your most valuable asset, your treasures, your resources, and even your thoughts. Do you know that you have 60,000 thoughts every single day? That's a lot to sort through. And we get to choose what we do with what God has entrusted to us. You might say, well, actually, I don't get to choose where my time goes. My boss chooses that, or my kids choose that because I'm their taxi driver, or whatever it might be. But you know, we have a lot more control over these things than what we often give ourselves credit for. We choose where our discretionary time goes. We choose what we think on. We choose what our attitudes are. And you might be saying, well, this summer, I want to sow strategically. I want to be in church every week, and I want to be prioritizing time with my life group and faith-centered friendships. And yet there's this gravitational pull to sow emotionally instead of strategically. But when we do that, it can feel like we are sowing to the wind, okay? You're like, what is this fan for? What happens is instead of sowing strategically, we can sow emotionally. And we could say, I know I should prioritize these things, but instead, I feel like doing this, and so I will. I know that I should be thinking on things that are good and pure and whatever, but instead, I'm gonna think on what I wanna think about, and I'm gonna say what I wanna say. Caution to the wind. You might say, I'm feeling discontent. I'm seeing my friends post on social media where they're going for their summer vacation, and I shouldn't let it bother me, but it does. And then I'm talking to everybody about it. I'm sowing discontentment. Or, you know, I shouldn't be dating this person. My mama even said, you shouldn't be dating this person, but I feel like doing it. They don't know Jesus, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Or I shouldn't buy this because I can't afford it and I don't need it, but who cares? It's just another credit card bill. And in the moment, it can feel like it doesn't matter that much. But when we sow into the wind, it can end up carrying what we sow farther than what we ever intended, reaching more people, impacting others in a negative way, more than what we ever even desired. We think, I'm just going to sow however I want to, but eventually we will reap what we sow. And this is what it says in Hosea chapter 8, verse 7, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. The wind in this passage, if you look it up in the original language, what's included in the wind are things like this: temper, anger, impatience, discontentment, uncontrollable impulse, emotion, and trouble. When we sow these things, we end up reaping the whirlwind, chaos, disaster. And if you feel like you're living in the whirlwind, emotionally, physically, whatever it might be, a great thing to do is look back and just take an inventory of what have you been sowing, what have you been saying, what have you been doing, what have you been thinking on. And here's the good news. If you don't like the whirlwind that maybe you've been living in, God says that his mercies are new. Every single day is fresh grace for you, fresh peace for you, fresh hope for you. And this summer is the perfect opportunity for a fresh start in what we sow and how we do that so that we can reap every good thing that God has for us. And a lot of our sowing strategically begins with our mind. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh within himself, so is he. The Bible talks a lot about having a sound mind because many times before we sow physically, before we say that thing, before we do that thing, before we buy that thing, we're thinking about it mentally. And so we want to be strategic about what we're thinking about because it impacts all areas of our life. And to that point, it matters what we allow in our mind. It matters what we take in. It matters what we dwell on. It matters what we ruminate on. Your input affects your output. It's hard to be joyful when you're never thankful. But gratitude can turn somebody's attitude around. If you're like, I've been grumpy, but now you're going to choose gratitude, it changes things. In the negative effect, if you're watching scary movies, you're probably going to be scared. Right? Or maybe if you're watching sexualized content, shows, movies, or reading the latest trashy fiction book because it's on somebody's top 5 summer reading list, but it's not good for you, you're reading these things, don't be surprised if you find yourself dealing with lust. Or if you're scrolling on Pinterest and comparing this to what you don't have, you'll probably end up dealing with discontentment. So we want to be mindful of what our input is and what we allow our minds to meditate on. This is what Paul said to Timothy. Paul, from the New Testament portion of the Bible, was writing this to someone that was his apprentice. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I love the distinction here, because what Paul's doing is he's separating out for Timothy what's not from God. Fear is not from God. Chaotic thinking, not from God. What is from God? Power, supernatural power to overcome what you couldn't overcome in your own strength, but with the power of God in you, you have the ability to stay strong and have a sound mind. What is from God? God's love that we can't deserve, we can't earn it, but yet God loves us. Power, love, a sound mind. Another translation of the same verse says it this way. Okay, don't get mad at me because I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what it says. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. It's not a fun word, self-discipline. You might feel like, oh, I feel so restrained with that word, self-discipline. But the reason that it says self-discipline is because you are the only one who can do this. Only you know what you're watching. Only you know what you're reading. Only you know what you're thinking. Self-discipline, because you have to put in the work. You got to do it. And I remember a couple of years ago at City First Church, we had Mike Singletary from the Chicago Bears in to do a ministry event. Now, I just want to be transparent with you. I don't know that much about football. I know you're shocked. And so Mike Singletary, people are like naming all these amazing things that he's done. I was like, I saw him in the Super Bowl Shuffle commercial. Like, that's what I remember. And so we're in this circle with Mike Singletary before service, and he's a strong guy, and somebody's like, Mike, you're so buff, you must work out all the time. And Mike was like, yeah, I work out almost every single day. Somebody else was like, wow, you must really love working out if you're working out every single day. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, no, I actually don't enjoy working out at all, but I enjoy the results of working out. And for us, if we want to have the result of a sound mind, we're going to have to put in the work. But the good news is we don't have to do it in our own strength, because God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit that will help us in this process. If you are trying to live this life following Jesus in your own strength, just trying to do behavior modification, just trying to will your way to do what's right, oh, you're going to be so exhausted and you're going to miss out on the joy of following Jesus. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Invite God's help and power to help you overcome, to help you have the self-discipline that God says you have. Invite him in. Don't do it on your own strength. Another key to having a sound mind is stillness over striving. I don't know about you. It is hard for me to be still. I kind of have the personality where I'm like, okay, we're going, we're doing, I'm thinking, I'm planning, I'm working. And so when I have a moment of stillness, I'm kind of like, what's wrong? What should we be doing right now? You know, if you have a moment of stillness, what do you do? Probably the same thing that I do. We reach for our phones. You know who you are. You're the person. You pull up to the light, it turns red. You get on your phone, but you don't know when the light turns green. And I'm honking my horn behind you. It's time to go. We take every moment where we just have a breath, and then we tend to fill it with scrolling, with whatever it might be. Do you know that we reach for our phone 344 times every single day? That's what a statistic just showed. And over half the people who are talking about it said they feel addicted to their phone. It goes everywhere with us. Sometimes we're more aware of the status of our phone than we are of our own spiritual health. I'm sorry, I just stepped on your toes. I'm so glad you're at church today. Thank you for being here. But God has so much for us, but we have to make time for stillness. And I know that it can be hard to be still. You might have little kids and you like lock yourself in the closet and their fingers are under the door. Or your older kids need you to drive you somewhere. Maybe your emails are pinging or electronics are everywhere. Maybe it's just that chaos thinking for you, not so much your schedule. And yet God says to be still. In Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't say, be anxious and know that I am God. Be hurried and know that I am God. Be busy, be preoccupied. It says, be still and know that I am God. And earlier we read in Ecclesiastes a verse that talked about all of the anxious striving. And in this verse that we're reading right now from Psalm 46, where it says, be still and know that I am God, still literally translated means cease striving. Cease your anxious striving and know that I am God. We have to know that stillness isn't passive, it's actually proactive. It reminds us that the world does not rest on our shoulders. When we are still, we are reminded that God is God and we are not. But when we never stop and we're never still and we're always on the go and we're always consuming things physically, mentally, and when we're in a rush, everything feels like a big deal. And that's why we have so many people who are just reactive to everything, mean commenting on social media, being mean. We're reacting to everything because we all feel stressed and everybody has a short fuse. And I heard this analogy once. I remember it was a while back and I was going through my own journey of learning how to really honor the Sabbath and to find stillness in my life. And I had given into this false reality that like I was more important than I am and the world would stop if I stopped doing anything ever. And I remember just taking some time away and going, no matter what I do, the sun is gonna rise and the sun is gonna set. And I'm not a machine, I'm a human being, and God wants to have relationship with me and I wanna have relationship with him. And that requires carving out time and space to do that. And I remember talking to a counselor and she gave me this analogy. She said, I want you to think about it this way. If you're riding on a motorcycle, which I never would, but if you're riding on a motorcycle and a small pebble hits you, it hurts. But if you're walking down the sidewalk and a small pebble hits you, it doesn't hurt that bad. The size of what hit you didn't change. What changed was the pace. And in all of our busyness and all of our hurriedness and all of our mental clutter and chaos, everything feels crazy. We can't think clearly. So we're letting the world determine what we do and what we watch and what we think. We can't think clearly. We can't understand what our kid needs or what our spouse needs or our marriage needs because we're just consumed with all of the chaos. But yet in the stillness, God speaks. In the stillness, we're reminded that we don't have to live full of anxious striving, but we can find rest and revelation from God. When we spend time with God, we're reminded that he is the creator and we are his creation. And what we know is that God sustains what he has created, and God will sustain you because he made you and he loves you and he created you and he has great plans for you. Even Jesus, the Son of God, when he walked on this earth, would consistently find times of solitude with his heavenly Father to quiet his soul and just spend intentional time. Because intentionality leads to intimacy in any relationship. Same is true with your relationship with God. So Jesus was on this earth for 33 years, and yet the first 30 years, he did no public ministry, no sermons, no miracles. And right before he went into the 3 years where he did public ministry, we see he was water baptized, and then he went into a time of solitude to just be with his heavenly Father. But when he was water baptized, we read in Matthew that when he came up from the water, there was a voice, and it was God's voice, and it said this, a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. God affirmed Jesus, not for anything he did, not for the miracles he performed, not for the sermons that he preached, but simply because he was his son. And it reminds us we can't busy our way into relationship with God. We can't hurry our way into a sound mind. And I want to challenge you this week to just try practicing stillness. I know it might be uncomfortable for you, but man, God just wants to spend time with you. The very thing that you've been trying to figure out, God wants to help you with it. He wants to reveal the clarity that you've been needing. And a few things that I do to practice stillness in my own life, maybe it'll be helpful for you. But just quickly, I normally every day try to go on a walk for like 30 minutes. And I know it's hard to believe. I leave my phone at home. I don't listen to anything. I don't talk to anybody. I just walk. And I say, God, what do you want to say to me? Or I just think. It's a time of clarity for me. Sometimes I end up talking to God out loud. So like if you're in my neighborhood and you see a crazy lady talking to herself, walking out loud, it's me, one of your pastors. We're gonna see what this holds, you know? Another thing that I do if I really am feeling frantic but know I need to have that stillness is I'll take my phone, I'll set a timer, I'll put my phone in one room, I'll go in another room, I get out my paper Bible, I've got a pen, I've got a notepad, and I'm just like, God, what do you wanna say? You have my undivided attention. The God of the universe deserves our undivided attention. And I love the phone Bible, you know, YouVersion app, but sometimes it can be so tempting that you're like, I'm reading the verse. Oh, I just got a ping from this person. So I just get yourself a paper Bible, read it, and say, God, what do you want to say to me during this time? Stillness over striving allows us to find true rest in God. That's healing and so helpful and so needed. And Philippians 4, 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he said this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. And I might be talking about a sound mind today. And you might be thinking, well, Lisa, it's difficult for me to have a sound mind when it feels like my world has been flipped upside down. Maybe your marriage is strained. Maybe you're feeling the hit of inflation and your finances are strained. Maybe you're going through a divorce, or maybe you're a student in here and your parents are walking through a divorce right now. Maybe work has been challenging and you're having struggles with your finances or with your health, or someone that you love is having struggles with their health, or you're facing difficulty in a relationship. And that's why the last key to having a sound mind is we're gonna have to dig deep. Having a sound mind doesn't happen as a result of having settled circumstances. Having a sound mind is a result of doing the hard work of sowing strategically, finding stillness, and then taking Paul up on what he said. If anything is good, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think on these things. That means we're doing a lot of sifting. What's negative that needs to be replaced with what's praiseworthy in our minds? What's our input that we don't like the output that it gives us, and we're switching that up? We're doing the hard work to dig deep and say, I want to have a sound mind, but I know I have to put in the work to get there. What is praiseworthy? What is excellent? Has God saved you, freed you, renewed you, transformed you, restored you, healed you? What is praiseworthy? Think on these things. And I love what it says in Psalm chapter 84, 5-7. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. That means they see beyond the here and the now. And they're living this life with an eternal purpose. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. The valley of Baca is translated as the valley of weeping. So although they go through a valley of difficulty, a valley of weeping, a valley of transition, whatever valley maybe you feel like you're walking through, what we learn is these individuals walk through a valley of weeping, but they chose to make it a place of springs. They apply self-discipline. They choose what they sow, what they dwell on, what they spend their time in, and they dig deep to make it a place of springs, that there's refreshment, even a time of difficulty, that there can be an oasis in your time with Christ, even though the world is chaos, that there can be new life, even though it feels like some things have been deteriorating. They make it a place of springs. And I remember a while ago, my husband Adam and I had the incredible opportunity to visit ancient Rome. And one of the things that we got to see there was the prison that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter were kept in. And what we learned is 2,000 years ago when this happened, there weren't many prisons in Rome because anybody who had offended the Roman government was just executed and put to death. And yet Paul and Peter were put into this prison. And it's called Mamertine Prison, but the original name, one of them, it's had a few, was Tertullianum. And that translated means a place of spring or a jet of water, because under the prison, to this day, there's a natural spring that runs underneath it. So we got to go in and we got to walk into this prison, and there's a first floor, and then there's like a cave, kind of like a dungeon underneath the first floor. We could kind of peek into it, but you'll see in this photo, there's a hole in the ceiling, and they would lower the prisoners down through this hole in the ceiling, just signifying you're never gonna get out, and if you do, it will be to die. And it was actually from this very prison that the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Timothy 1:7 to Timothy. He said, I'm here caught in captivity, but yet my opposition is gonna be an opportunity to keep encouraging, to keep spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And he said, Timothy, do not have a spirit of fear or of timidity, but God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind from a prison cell is what Paul was writing. When we read in Philippians 4, that's another verse that Paul wrote to people from prison where he says, if anything's good, if anything's praiseworthy, I think on these things as he's in prison. So convicting. We got to have the mental fortitude to dig deep and set our minds on the things of Christ. And when you look at this photo, you see that there's this hole in the ground. And we were like, "What?" We wonder what that hole is. And so we reached out to somebody who was helping people. And we said, what is this hole in the ground? And they told us that the apostle Paul and Peter had acquired what they needed to be able to chip away at the stone in this ground. And that Paul and Peter were known that no matter where they were at, they were sharing the good news of Jesus. It's why they were imprisoned. They would share Jesus with their inmates. They would share Jesus with the jailkeepers. They would share Jesus as they wrote letters to churches. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. They said after they would lead inmates to Jesus, after they would lead jailkeepers to Jesus, they would take some water from the spring and they would use it to water baptize people who have chosen to follow Jesus. That in the midst of their opposition, that in the midst of their chaos, that in the midst of their struggle, they lived out what we just read in Psalm 84, that they went from strength to strength, even when the circumstances were not good. And when Paul wrote to Timothy and said, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, sound mind, he's saying, Timothy, stop focusing on all the things that could go wrong. Stop focusing on all of your own weaknesses. Instead, focus on God and on his strength and on his goodness, his power, his love. That's available for you today. And maybe you feel like you've been running on E, or maybe you feel like your mind's been chaos thinking. I want to encourage you today that God has fresh strength for you, that God has new life for your marriage, that God has refreshment coming your way, even though you feel tired and worn out. And when we will put in the hard work to say, I'm going to sow strategically, I'm gonna practice stillness over striving, and I'm gonna dig deep. You are gonna experience every good thing that God has for you as you apply your mind in discipline to the words and the way and the will of God. So I wanna take a moment this morning. I just wanna pray over you. In fact, would you go ahead, if you're able, just stand to your feet. And I just wanna pray fresh strength over you. Maybe you feel like things have been chaotic. Maybe you're frustrated, or maybe you've been praying and you haven't seen that answered prayer yet. Don't become weary in well-doing. Don't lose hope. Don't let your mind give in to stinking thinking. Instead, be focused. What is good? What is of God? And you're gonna experience the sound mind that he has for you. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here right now at Spring Creek and at every location are joining us online. God, I thank you that you created them, that you love them, that you have a plan and a purpose for them. And when the enemy wants to keep us busy and preoccupied so that we miss out on the strength, the power, the sound mind that God has for us, we declare today that you have our attention, that you have our focus, that you have our time, that you are Lord over it all. And so we submit to you today. I pray that you would help us to practice stillness, that you would help us to think about what we're thinking about, that we would sow what you've entrusted to us wisely. And God, I pray for every person who needs fresh strength, refreshment, refueled. Would you fill them today to the brim, to the overflow, where they experience your joy and your strength and your courage and your boldness and your peace and your love and your supernatural power. We don't do this in our own strength. I pray that each and every person would feel the wind at their back as they go into the summer. Thank you, God, that you can do it. And with every head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to take a moment, because we've been talking about having a sound mind, having strength, having intimacy in your relationship with God, but it all starts with making the decision to follow Jesus and to make him the leader and forgiver of your life. And if you're here and you've never made that decision, you're not joining a church, This isn't about religion, it's about relationship, saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, died for my sins, rose again. If you want to make that decision today, would you go ahead with no one looking except for myself and just slip up your hand and say, today I choose to follow Jesus, heaven forever as my home. Seeing hands go up, absolutely incredible. Best decision you'll ever make. You can go ahead and you can put your hand down. If everybody would repeat this prayer after me so that no one feels like they're saying it alone. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, that he died for me, forgives my sins, and gives me a fresh start. Today I choose to follow him. And in your name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Can you give everybody?
Well, what an incredible message from Pastor Lisa Seaton today. I know I was taking a ton of notes. And if you're one of the people that just made the decision to make Jesus the leader and forgiver of your life, we just want to be the first to welcome you and say congratulations. That's one of the best decisions that you can ever make. We would love for you to scan that QR code either on the screen or download the City First app and download our new Believers booklet, our New Beginning booklet. It's a booklet that's designed specifically for you. And as you're taking your next step in your relationship with Jesus, it's going to talk to you about the Bible. It's going to talk to you about prayer and kind of some next steps to take. And another great next step is to hop into Growth Track. Growth Track is a four-week class. It actually starts at the beginning of each month. And guess what? Next Sunday is the beginning of June. So Growth Track will be starting over. We've got it in person and online. And that is just a great way to kind of discover God's design in your life. You get to hear a little bit about the history of the church, but it's mostly about how God has empowered you to be specifically you and what that means. So go ahead, scan that QR code, download the City First app, and even on the app too, you can request prayer. We'd love to pray with you, and you can also pray for others. There's a little prayer request at the top, and it's got a daily devotional that's just for you. In fact, the devotional for this week is going to be just about the message that Pastor Lisa just preached and how we can take that deeper into our lives, kind of maybe dwell on some of those scriptures a little bit more. So go ahead, open that up each day this week. It's a great starter for your quiet time in the morning, or if you've only got a couple minutes, open that up, and that's a great resource for you. Well, we're so grateful that you chose to join us today. If this message blessed you, go ahead and share it with a friend. It's going to be available for on demand. We don't want to keep that to ourselves. We want to share the hope with everybody that we know, and it's going to be an incredible week this week. We're praying for you, praying blessing over your life, and just praying that you know that God is with you, that he's given you a sound mind, and he's given you everything that you need to succeed this week. So City First Church, we'll catch you next Sunday.